Hey guys, welcome to WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining me tonight is Jack McCarthy.
Howdy, folks.
And Fedra Ekris.
Hello, everybody.
So in tonight's show, what we're going to do is we're going to go over some news and give our final thoughts on the Moon Knight series. But first, I did see a movie today.
What movie did you see, Joe?
I did see Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
And did you enjoy it?
What do you guys think? You guys know me, you know.
I don't know. You seem like you're in a pretty good mood, so it seems like maybe it wasn't as bad as you thought it was.
And you agree with that, Fedra?
I think you're in a good mood, but probably the things that you expected to happen did, so you're kind of like, ha, I knew it, kind of mood.
I don't know, I didn't think I seemed like I was in a good mood, but if you guys see that, it's good. That's good for me.
Oh, so you're not in a good mood?
No, I'm just my normal average self, and sorry. I'm always in a good mood. Can't you tell?
Okay.
So, as far as the movie goes, I hated it.
Oh, no.
That's what I'd be saying if I was in another universe, another multiverse.
Okay.
But in actuality, I really, really liked it.
You did?
I did.
Okay.
Oh, now I am torn.
Thank goodness.
Because typically when you hate things, that makes me want to see it more.
I think you will really like this, Jack.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it. I'm not seeing you until 10 o'clock tomorrow night. So,
and Fedra, I can't wait to hear your point of view on this movie.
Oh, yes, I told Julian the wrath of Fedra, and he loved it. He just chuckled with that. So it's probably going to be there. Am I right? There's probably a lot of stuff in there.
There is so much dark stuff in this. It's beyond anything you had seen before. I'm sure you will have your eyes wide open like a Clockwork Orange and Malcolm McDowell.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I probably will.
But
it's just messed up because I won't be able to take notes, you know. I'm just gonna have to like remember as much as I can and maybe funnel through the trailer or something.
I tried doing that once in the theater since I was reviewing the movie, and I was writing notes, and then when I got home it was like all circles and lines. I couldn't read a thing I did.
Yeah, I mean it's dark anyway.
Yeah.
How are you gonna tell?
So you're going to be surprised. I mean, I'm not going to give any spoilers away, but I'm going to say Elizabeth Olsen stole this movie. She was incredible.
What?
And I
now,
can't.
That's something
now,
coming from you.
Joe, I don't think this is you. I think you're a clone.
No.
He's a variant. He's from the multiverse.
You are from the multiverse. I cannot believe you're saying this.
No, normally I don't
our
like
Joe
her.
Hogarty.
No, she was great. You know, I'm not going to say any more regarding her performance, but I was very, very impressed. I think she's the best part of the movie by far.
Are you impressed with the acting? Do you think that she was very in character? Why do you say that?
No, I would say the acting and the writing for her.
Okay.
And I would say next would be Benedict Cumberbatch. I think he's really good in this movie. This is definitely way better than the first Doctor Strange movie. And I would say, you know how I felt about Phase 4. When you look at all the TV shows and the four movies that we've seen from Phase 4, this is by far my favorite one. Not that it doesn't have problems. It does. There's some issues that we'll discuss on the roundtable. And we're going to have a couple of them, actually. But I am looking forward to that. And I'm, like I said, I'm looking forward to what you guys have to say about it when you see it. I will say, I'll say this too. I feel like the last third was probably the worst part of the movie. I think like the first two thirds were very, very good, but I just felt in a way, part of it,
Did they write themselves into a corner?
No, I just, it kind of like deflated a little bit. I think it could have been a little better. And the CGI, ugh, some of the CGI is just horrendous. I don't know what's going on.
Really?
Like, yeah, like that Squiddly Diddly character that you see in the trailer with the giant eye, and he looks awful. And then there's like almost like these giant trolls. Looks so, so bad. It's like the Hobbit kind of CGI, but worse. I don't know. But good CGI is you don't recognize it, and you're not going to recognize most of the CGI in this movie. But like when they have like mystical creatures and demons and things like that, it just doesn't look very good. But again, we'll discuss it in the round table.
We'll talk about it on the round table.
Yep. Also, they showed an Avatar 2 trailer.
Way of Water.
Yeah, okay. They haven't. And I think it's great that they're showing it just in theaters. Maybe they'll release it this weekend, but it's not available yet on YouTube or anywhere. And it looks really good. I'm actually looking forward to it. And what was cool about it is that there's very little talking in it. It's just kind of like visuals and seeing the family that they have now and the different type of creatures and the world building that they've expanded on. I don't think it's a huge leap from the first movie graphic wise. It's tough to say, but it still looks very good. And I am dying to own that in 4K, regardless of how crappy that movie might be. I bet you that thing is going to be demo material for 4K and Dolby Vision.
I'm sure it's had to have taken a leap forward. Avatar was how many years ago?
10, 12 years ago.
2009?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they've got to leapt forward. I can't imagine what they're going
to do. I said it's not a huge leap forward. I mean, you can tell a difference, but I was expecting a little bit more. I think that the world and the backgrounds look really nice, but the characters look very similar to what they once were. But maybe they're doing that intentionally because they don't want to kind of ruin the illusion that, well, why do they look so different if you're watching these movies back to back?
I don't remember. Were they blue skinned or did they have like blue fur?
Skin.
They were. Oh, so it was skin. So it's not like they were working with hair textures, because that could like really throw things off a bit.
No, it's bizarre. I'm actually really looking forward to that movie. I would say the most right now. Just because it's James Cameron. I'm not crazy about the first one. And I think I might see the first one again this weekend just to refresh my memory. But yeah, it looks pretty good.
Okay, cool. Any other trailers?
Let's see. Well, they had the Thor Love and Thunder trailer, and it was nice to see that in the theater. I got to notice a lot more on the big screen, and I'm looking forward to that one too. That looks like it'd be a lot of fun. Kind of surprised there was no Maverick trailer.
Is it 20th Century Fox or Disney?
It's Paramount.
It's Paramount.
But it's big. You know, it's going to be like a big movie. I know most of those trailers are from the production company, but a lot of times they do show different production companies. It's the theater that tries to get people to come into the theaters. I'm definitely going to go see that one. I've been hearing nothing but good things about it, and sounds pretty good. I saw the Lightyear trailer. Looks great, but I got a bad feeling about this one. I think that it's woke Disney is going to rear its ugly head, but we'll see.
We'll see.
All right. Before we get into the news, I guess this is kind of news, but I wanted to ask you guys about the Obi-Wan trailer. Now that was released on May the 4th. And Fedra, did you see it?
Yeah, I did. I'm staying open. It does look like there's a whole lot going on. you know, I expected them to just fill it up with stuff, but you know, I personally am just praying it's not as bad as Book of Boba. I mean, that would make a new level of a low, so I doubt it. You know, Grogu better not be in it in some way. You know, I love Grogu, but it would not make sense, at least to me. So I'll say, you know, I'm open. I mean, I love the lead. McGregor is how I guess I call him. Yeah, let's just stay open. I felt like it was good, but I wasn't like excited.
Jack?
Actually, I'm with Fetra on that. I watch it and I think it looks okay. But I'm having a hard time getting excited about it. Like I said, I mean, it looks like at least he's getting off Tatooine, so we're not going to have to sit through a whole series in the desert again. But I don't know. It's just tough for me to get excited. I hate to say it, but I think Boba Fett may have put me off Star Wars on TV.
Well, I like The Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian, like, I loved it, and I loved the Mandalorian episodes of Boba Fett, but I don't know. I'm really surprised that I just can't seem to get amped up about this.
Yeah, same thing.
From what I saw in the trailers, once again, going back to working on models and stuff, a lot of people have complained that the ship designs since The Force Awakens have been very blocky. Like, a lot of them are very square, very, you know, almost like a brick design. Like, we don't have anything with the style like the X-Wings or the Y-Wings. Everything just looks kind of clunky. And that's what I noticed in the trailer. Like, usually, I mean, I love on Star Wars, you know, see a ship come by and you're like, wow, that looks awesome. You know, the ships we've seen in this look like they're following that flying brick design again. And that's why I get excited. You know, the lightsaber fights are fine and the shootouts are fine. But I love the spaceships. And I didn't see any spaceship designs that I went, oh, cool, that looks good. I want to see more of that on screen. So that could just be me. Maybe I'll be surprised. I don't know. But like I said, I'm having a tough time getting excited about it.
No, I'm with you guys, too. I'm not really excited about anything going forward with Disney Plus, any of the series. Like, when you think about it, this one, Andor, and the Marvel stuff, Echo, even She-Hulk. I mean, I'm not really excited about it. I mean, I'd like to see what she looks like. What else do we got? Ironheart. I think War Machine is having his own series. It's just nothing really I'm excited about, and nothing has really impressed me. That's why I was happy with Doctor Strange, because after all of the four series, you know, I don't know, we had a lot of series on Disney Plus with Marvel, and I really didn't like most of them. I'd say probably my favorite was Hawkeye, and that was just because the other one sucked so much. But this kind of brought me.
And Hawkeye is getting a bad rap as like the least viewed of the Disney Plus series. And
oh, really?
For the most part, I thought it was probably the best of them.
No, I do too. I mean, it had its issues, but that had its high points too. And I kind of felt that a lot of the other series just lack that. So yeah, I don't know. I just hope Disney does the right thing. I think they need new leadership and they need someone to take control of Disney Plus's programming and the movies and the theme parks.
Well, by contrast, I do have to say by contrast, the Easter Bunny this year brought me a year subscription to Paramount Plus. And I got to say, like, I'm watching the Star Trek stuff that they're putting on this. And at first, when I'd seen this some of the Star Trek Discovery, I was like very lackluster about it. But I'm watching it now, and it's a lot better than I thought it was. Picard, the first season, was excellent. They have an animated show called Lower Decks that is, it's pokes fun at Star Trek, but doesn't get into slapstick. It's really pretty funny. I gotta say, between the two, Paramount Plus is doing a lot better work with its Star Trek than Disney Plus is doing with its Star Wars, which is surprising because Star Wars has an easier story format to follow. Now, Star Wars is all about adventure, but Star Trek always kind of puts a message in there and it's supposed to make you think a little bit more. And like I said, Paramount Plus, their Star Trek programming is leaps and bounds ahead of Disney Plus's Star Wars.
Well,
it's really a night and day thing.
I want to hear what you have to say about Picard season two, because I heard that is a train wreck.
Well, the first season was very, very good. But I've started watching Discovery. I blew through Lower Decks. That's the animated one. So I've been watching Discovery. I want to finish the first season and then maybe start Picard season two. But the first season of Picard, I thought was terrific.
Well, we'll see.
Like I said, I don't know what's going on at the House of the Mouse, but I hope they fix something soon.
Yeah, me too. Because every time I look at, they'll have a section that says new to Disney Plus. I'm like, you know, it's just, I'm not really interested. Like, they'll add like the Mighty Ducks, and then they'll add Cheaper by the Dozen. And it's like, what are they doing? It's, I don't know. Did you guys see that trailer for Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers?
That I thought actually looked kind of funny.
No, I didn't.
Oh, it looks awful. I think it looks horrible.
Well, I mean, I thought it was funny because it pokes fun at itself. Like, you know, as a team, they've split up and one of them went and got a CGI upgrade, as they explain it. So he looks very realistic and the other guy looks still like the two-dimensional animation. I thought that was funny, but that's,
well, just, I didn't like that they have a couple of comedians. I think it's Adam Sandberg, who I like, but I don't like him as Chip and Dale. Like, they don't have their regular voices. It's like, that kind of ruins the characters. I'd rather see a movie with their actual voices that we remember from the classic Disney cartoons.
Now, for me, that's a draw, because I can listen to, no.
Well, who asked you? I guess I did.
You did.
All right. So since it was May the 4th day, I guess, recently, I wanted to bring about this study that was composed by this group called U-Switch. And what they did is they conducted a study to reveal the best and the worst Star Wars movies in the Skywalker saga. And what they did is they compared them against the sequels to discover the best and worst films in each franchise. The study used scores from IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, and Metacritic, along with box office revenue and profitability. And I think that they might have used, you know, viewer scores too, like that they have in Rotten Tomatoes. But anyway, so here we go. So here's the list, and let me know if you guys agree with it. So coming in at number one, do you have any idea, Fedra? What would you think would be the number one?
For number one,
It's a trap. It can't be that obvious.
Well, don't say it's a trap, because then you'll lead her astray.
I don't know. I don't know. I'd say one of the newer ones.
Jack?
I am sticking that the best one all around is The Empire Strikes Back.
Well, you both be wrong. It's actually A New Hope. I can kind of understand it because without A New
Hope, good.
There would be no other movies. So it's like the OG. It's kind of like Superman the movie and Superman 2. Like you might prefer Superman 2, but without Superman the movie, there would be no Superman 2.
Yeah, I can see that, but
I prefer that really, but okay. I know how people are when they vote. They always go toward like the newest, you know, films.
But again, it doesn't have to do with people voting. It has to do with like all these, I guess, statistics that they gathered. So following that would be Empire Strikes Back. Number three would be The Force Awakens. Number four was The Last Jedi. Number five was Revenge of the Sith. Number six was Return of the Jedi. Number seven was The Phantom Menace. What was the worst one?
The Holiday Special.
No, that wasn't included. Although that is part of the Star Wars.
That is part of Skywalker Saga.
Yeah. So they concluded that the worst one was The Rise of Skywalker. And I said that from the very beginning when I saw that movie.
I know why he had to mention this.
Good thing we're not doing video because folks standing up right now thumping his chest. Like,
no, I'm not. I'm sitting nice and calmly.
I was right.
You're totally doing that. I told you so.
Of course I am.
I had
so many people telling me, oh, it was great. I remember when The Phantom Menace came out, how many idiots told me how great that movie was. They're like, oh, it's the best Star Wars movie ever. It's like, what movie did you see?
The Phantom Menace was weird, though. I think people were so excited for it. They really wanted to believe it was a great movie, and they just couldn't admit that they had been looking forward to it for so long. It was just so lackluster.
And then they had people like me with higher IQs that can tell right away that there was something wrong with this movie. I had to do investigative science and I had to go see it four times to make sure that I was correct, that my thesis was accurate. And I was correct.
Completely.
Although, again, there were worse movies to come after that. The sequel was pretty bad.
Well, you know what, though? I mean, it's funny. We've talked about it before, that how sometimes, you know, with repeating showings, you really start to like more. Like Last Jedi, each time I see that, you know what? I'm liking it a lot more. But Rise of Skywalker, aside from the big spaceship fights and stuff, the more I watch it, I find myself fast forwarding through big chunks of it because there are so many plot holes and things that just don't make sense. That, yeah, you're right, Joe. It does deserve the title of the worst Star Wars movie. That's right. But it's pretty to look at a lot of times.
I think it's pretty to look at, but
That shot of the Imperial fleet, all those Star Destroyers lined up, that's like so cool. But
does that even make sense, though?
Yeah, it does.
That many?
Yeah. Think about it. You have to think of scale. When you're thinking about, you know, ruling a galaxy, you're going to need a ton of ships like that. You know, you can't do it with a fleet of, you know, 20 ships. You know, you need a fleet of hundreds of ships. And I just, like I said, we'd seen Star Destroyers before, but to see that many in a fixed formation was like, whoa.
I'll go as far as to say, I think J.J. Abrams should be banned from making any movies ever again. And I love The Force Awakens and I loved his Star Trek, but he ruined something that was sacred.
Oh, well, you're getting a little overboard there.
No, dude. I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
This was the last chapter. The last chapter should have been probably the best in the franchise. and he just buried it.
Because he listened to fans who made him apologize way too much for the previous movie, which actually, like I said, I like it better each time I see it. I really do.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I like it too. There's some parts I like in it. All right, let's get into the news. So Spider-Man No Way Home was banned in China because it featured the Statue of Liberty, and China wanted that taken out of the movie. What do you guys think about that?
I didn't realize they hated the Statue of Liberty that much.
Yeah, why?
Because it's liberty. It's freedom.
Yeah, but it's for the United States. It's not for China. Everybody knows in China there's no freedom.
Well, that's just it. I don't think that they liked that there was a symbol of freedom. I mean, that's probably the long answer, but it is kind of weird that they would kind of be offended by that, because I'm sure there are tons of movies out there that have been shown in China that have the Statue of Liberty in it.
Well, yeah, considering how many movies take place in New York, you know, you're going to get a shot of the Statue of Liberty in there somewhere. Maybe because it was featured too prominently, because it was the huge setting for the last act of the movie, maybe, but I can't understand why they take such offense to it when it's shown up nearly in every New York-based movie at one point or another.
Well, not to go on too long of a tangent, but I think, you know, with everything going on with cancel culture, I think it's also very hypocritical to allow China to ban the film.
Well, what do you mean allow? I guess they can do whatever they want.
Right. But, you know, God forbid we ban anything that they have that they send to us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
I feel it's very one-sided. I believe further in the news, I think you're going to say the same thing with Saudi Arabia. Whereas, you know, we do business with both of them, but for some reason they have the ability to ban those things. And, you know, God forbid if we do that, then we look like the bad guy, you know?
True.
Just thinking out loud.
But the other option is say, you know what? You banned the last movie. You're not getting this one.
Yeah. But we don't do that.
And start taking those dollars that their theater owners receive away from them. You don't like, I mean, could movies, you imagine? I'm going to send you next ones.
I mean, could you imagine, though, if that showed in China? I mean, it might have been the highest grossing movie of all time, because that might have reached close to $3 billion.
Yeah, I mean, people love Spider-Man. Like, yeah, like I could totally see that. I'm just going based off of the banning. Like, you're not. It's just hypocrisy to me.
I think it's also China is they realize that Disney needs them. They don't need Disney. Because I don't know what kind of money they're making off of Disney in this whole process. Disney is making revenue from them by people seeing it. I'm sure the government's getting some kind of a cut, but it's almost, I think it's kind of like a screw you to Disney. I don't think that they're huge fans. Well, they're not huge fans of our country, but I think that they're getting a little tired with Disney too. But you are right, Fedra, Doctor Strange was banned in Saudi Arabia the week before, and now they confirmed that it's also banned in China too.
Yes, I believe there was something else that was banned because apparently there's, or maybe that is Doctor Strange, where a character is within the LGBTQ community.
Yeah, that America Chavez has two mothers.
Yeah, but so they're going to cut that line, supposedly.
No, Saudi Arabia asked them to cut that line, and I thought it was
China that asked them to cut it, too.
No.
Okay. I could be wrong.
I will say I saw that scene. It's a lot longer than 12 seconds. I would say they would have to cut maybe about 4 to 5 minutes.
Is it that big of a point, a plot point?
Yeah, it is actually. Well, actually, I think that they could cut it and the Chinese wouldn't miss it or Saudi Arabia wouldn't miss it. But I think it's good that they kept it in there because it kind of shows you why the character is the way she is. It helps define America Chavez's character a little more.
Well, but I have to say that is great that it's not just put in there to appease the Awoken Nutty as a line. It actually helps develop the character. It has a story purpose.
No. Yeah. It has nothing to do with appeasing any kind of group. I do think it has to do that. It's a bit of a major plot point for her, for, you know, why she is the person she is. And I thought it was a good scene. I thought they handled it very well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to.
Don't say anything else.
No, I'm not going to spoil anything about it.
Save it for Sunday.
But again, that's going back to, you know, my hypocrisy here. And I know that, you know, somebody could say, well, let China do what they want to do and let Saudi Arabia do what they want to do. However, if we're going to also be this example of, you know, freedom and, you know, this freedom of speech in this country, then it makes no sense why, you know, overall we're doing all this canceling and banning and silencing people, not only in our own country, when we see that we put out these amazing stories telling of diversity, and then the rest of the world is like, no, sorry, you could do that over there, but we don't do that over here. Sorry. And it's just like, isn't that again hypocrisy again? And like, I'm sorry, but like, how do you justify that when you're so adamant about a point that you want to make in this country with their own people, but then other countries, it doesn't really matter what they do. You know, they can prosecute and kill and judge and ban films of the LGBTQ, you know, community. But, you know, here, if you just say something, you just say something inappropriate, you know, you're kicked to the curb. And I'm only mentioning it because we're bringing this up. And I really, the only thing that I never wish to insult or upset anyone. I just want to make you think about it. Just step back, take away your like inner dialogue and like, just think about that, because, you know, the actions really mean something here. And I feel like then the earth, you know, globally, as far as humanity, we're not growing. We're not growing if one part is really making this important and the rest of the world is like, no, it's actually not. In fact, we actually don't want it to exist in our country. Like, that really is a very, you know, cross of argument and stance. But for some reason, you know, here we're making it so important, so magnified, that if you don't even agree, you're silenced. Like, I'm just really amazed, because when I see this, you know, when you send it to us, Joe, like the news, I'm just like, how come nobody's bringing that up? How come that's not being a part of the discussion in this country?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know how things are in this country. A lot of times they bury some stories too, if it goes against their narrative on both sides.
Yes.
And it's just unfortunate that we're not getting accurate news most of the time. We're getting opinions based on who's telling the story. Hopefully that'll change one day. And I think it will. I think someone's going to come along and kind of just give us straight damn news, you know, no slant or no heroes and villains created by their opinion. And people are hopefully going to love it and say, well, this is what I want. I want accurate news, and not like if I turn to Fox and I see it one way, and then I turn to CNN and I see it another way. Well, which one is right? Because I have no friggin' idea.
Anyway. Amen to that.
Amen. So John Watts, who directed the Spider-Man movies, was going to direct Fantastic Four, and he is no longer directing Fantastic Four. Yeah. And I wanted to thank Tom from Philly for letting me know. He was the first one to tell me about that. And that made me very gleeful and happy.
No.
Well, you're not
happy? No, I'm not happy. I like the tone that he used to handle Spider-Man. That's the tone that fits the FF, not the Russos. The Russos are a little bit more serious, heavy. Fantastic Four has got to be light and fun, just like Spider-Man. And I think that's too bad. I think he would have done a great job with the FF.
Fedra?
It's not to be.
I don't know, honestly. It's not, he's not a something that I have on my radar, but I guess I'll go with, you know, what Jack just said. If it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be. I just hope the next person doesn't screw it up.
Well, all I
screw ups.
Right.
All I know is that I think we had said the story a while ago. I don't know if it was him or if it was Marvel, but they were looking for a very diverse group to portray the Fantastic Four. And I'm sorry, that's not what I want. I mean, I'm for diversity, especially for new characters. Like, I don't know too much about America Chavez. Well, you know what? I'm not even going to talk about her. Actually, you know, I'll say really quick. I think she was the weakest part of the film, unfortunately. But I don't know too much about that character. There's another character that we're going to talk about later that I will bring this up again, though, when it comes to diversity and inclusion and how they do things right, how things should be done right. And, you know, I won't bring it up until we get there. But I'm sorry. I want the characters from the Fantastic Four to look as close as possible to what we've seen in the comics for years. And I know if John... What's his name? John Watts. If he would have directed that movie, it would never have. Nope. There's no way. Because I do think he was looking for Latino. He's looking for Asian. He was looking for African American. I don't even know if Caucasian was on the list. But that's not my Fantastic Four. It's, you know, I just want to see it look as close as possible to the comic. And I sometimes, you know, yeah, they might be pushing diversity, but they might also be kind of like poking the bear to kind of get a reaction. Like if you complain about the casting, well, it's like, well, maybe it's because you have a problem, you know, maybe you're racist. It's like, you know, like I said, I'm a fan when characters look as close as possible to what we see, like Robert Downey Jr., you know, he did a great job as Tony Stark and Iron Man, and the costume looked just like Iron Man. That's what I want to see. Anyway, so the Marvels and Ant-Man Quantumania have swapped release dates. So the Marvels, which is the sequel to Captain Marvel, was originally due to open in theaters on February 17th, 2023. And Quantumania, the third movie in the Ant-Man series, was set to open on July 28th. So now Quantumania will be opening in February, and the Marvels will debut in July. Are you happy about that one, Jack?
I don't see what the difference is in flip-flopping them, unless there's problems with the Marvels that they need to go back and clean it up a bit or work on it some more. I don't know. I haven't been looking into that too much. So maybe that could be it. Or is there another Marvel property that kind of needs the extra support before the Marvels? I mean, when is Secret Invasion supposed to come out?
Well, it's on TV, Disney Plus.
On Disney Plus.
I don't know. I don't care, actually, to be honest.
Exactly. I don't know when that's coming out. Maybe because the Skrulls have figured in with the first Captain Marvel, they want to push it back or make it closer to the release of Secret Invasion. I don't know. So yeah, that could be it, but I don't think that's too big a deal.
Fedra, you got any thoughts on that one?
Not really.
Not really. I mean, I'll just say February is not the best month to release movies. And true. I think maybe they would rather have the Marvels come out in July. Maybe they have more confidence in Quantumania and they don't want the Marvels to fail. So they're swapping the dates. And even though February is a bad month for movies, Black Panther came out in February and that made over $1 billion. So,
You know what, though? You might be onto something with that, though. Because maybe they're looking, maybe they're thinking that the Marvels will be more of a popcorn movie than Quantumania, as silly as the title is. Because a lot of times movies get lost in the shuffle, and maybe they feel, you know, Ant-Man would get lost in the shuffle somewhere.
Yeah, I still am. My mind is just, I can't comprehend that there's a third Ant-Man movie coming out. Because although they were decent movies, I don't get it. I'm sorry.
I like them, so I'm all for another Ant-Man movie.
We were talking about last week, Christopher Miller and was it Lord and Miller? They're the ones that behind the Spider-Verse. They had mentioned that the, what is it? Across the Spider-Verse was going to have 240 characters.
Oh, yeah. That crazy number.
So Miller came out and he basically said what Jack said. They're mostly minor characters and the story will focus mostly on Miles, Gwen, and a bunch of other Spider-Man characters, which I'm glad to hear because, again, I'd like to see more Spider-Man characters, but I don't want to see an overabundance of Spider-Man characters just because you can, just because there are maybe 100 different Spider-Man characters doesn't mean we need to see all 100. I think we'd get sick of it after a while. Don't you agree, Fedra?
Yeah, over time.
And I know Jack always agrees with me. Jack's going to be upset with this one. So the Wonder Twins movie was canceled.
Which, you know,
why would you be upset?
I'm being sarcastic.
Because I think the Wonder Twins fits that niche in Warner Brothers that Shazam fits in. Mm. That you can make a fun, goofy superhero movie that could stand on its own, doesn't need to tie into anything else. And they're passing on it. So good for them. But what I found interesting, speaking of, well, Joe, you go first. I'll add my Warner Brothers bit.
Well, I just want to say, did you realize that the guy that they cast as the male Wonder Twin was Archie from Riverdale?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah. I don't know who the girl was, but I recognized him right away. I'm okay with that. I think that Discovery or the new leaders of Warner Brothers are like, they're buckling down. And when they look at crap, they're like, we need to get rid of some of these things. And that's why Witch Stars Our Last Story, well, Batwoman and League of Superheroes were canceled.
Well, can I... That was a convenient segue. Can I jump on that about Warner Brothers Discovery?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Did you remember when DC moved its offices out of New York to go to the West Coast? Because they were looking to make greater synergy between the comics and the DC movies?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, that was supposedly the goal because, you know, Warner Brothers had this big thing and they're like, hey, you know, we should have all of the DC stuff in one place, the studios as well as the comics. Well, they had banked on Zack Snyder being extremely successful with his DC universe, where now, with all the Discovery reorganization and stuff, DC has been kicked out of the building. So DC Comics has been kicked out of the building. So right now they are going to a hoteling structure in another office space, but they are no longer in like the Warner Brothers building.
That could be temporary though.
No, they are sort of, their whole structure now is based off of a hoteling office design. So where you used to have, you know, here's the DC building, all the editors and creatives all jammed into one place where they go bounce off each other and make nutty ideas. Now it's like, just walk in and sit wherever you want. So I think that's a big deal that they have lost their dedicated office space. So I think we're going to start continuing to see bigger shakeups with DC. Because the other fun fact that came out when I was reading some stuff on this is it's not only the brand new the Superman Son of Jor-El that has dropped out of the top 50. In January, the only DC titles to be in the top 50
Batman
titles.
I was just going to say Batman.
Can you picture like Justice League not in the top 50 best-selling comics when you have all of DC's flagship characters there?
Well, Marvel's not in there either.
Marvel's in those top. Who do you think has the bulk of the top 50?
Manga.
No, not all manga. Manga is trade paperbacks, not comics. The thing that what sells manga is that you can get like those mini books that give like a whole story, almost like, you know, when you buy a trade paperback of 5 or 6 issues for a story arc. That's why manga is so darn popular, because you're getting more of a story. It's not broken up. But that's serious trouble for DC Comics. I don't know, Jim Lee's days may be numbered.
I hope so.
So you were saying DC Legends of Tomorrow is canceled, which is a gosh darn shame. Batwoman wasn't very good, but that's just my opinion. I love DC Legends.
I heard Superman and Lois might be going HBO Max.
And that show, I think, is consistently very good. So
I gave up on it.
I know you gave up on it, but I like it.
All right. Let's move on. Let's get to the main story, and that is Moon Knight. So the series is over. We'll kind of give our views on what we thought about it. And Fedra, we really missed you. Was it the week before? Because we know a lot of stuff went on, and we knew you had a lot to talk about. But let me ask you first, though. What did you think overall of the series? Oh, I'm missing stuff. I'm sorry, guys. But oh well, what am I going to do? I had some notes, but they're all gone.
I mean, there's a lot of scenes visually, you know, action, you know, some of the scenes in Egypt, if it was in Egypt, unless it was CGI, it was really well done. I think the actors overall for acting were good. Definitely Ethan Hawke and Oscar Isaac were great. I'm just going to try and get all the good out of the way before I start tearing it apart. You know, music, I couldn't get into it. I mean, I like that they were trying to, you know, blend in, you know, the Egyptian, Middle Eastern vibe in it, but sometimes it would be very distracting to me. The storyline, you know, I'm really glad definitely that I could bounce back and hear ideas from Jack, because a lot of the times I didn't know, like, are they just recreating and rewriting Moon Knight, and there's no connection to the actual character. So it was nice to watch it and learn about the character at the same time. So still though, I won't watch this again. So I would say again, this is about a 4 or a 5 out of 10 overall. For the soapbox portion, there's still very much a lot of occult all the way to the end. I don't know if this was purposefully done. In my opinion, that's what I think it is, especially the ending. that was just, I mean, it's dark.
Wait till you see Doctor Strange, lady.
Yeah, I know. I mean, well, I just don't like this theme, you know,
when you brought it up, I was like, I don't know. I don't think they have any agenda or anything like that. But then the last couple episodes of Moon Knight, I was like, she might be right. And then after seeing Doctor Strange, I'm like, she might be right even more, you know?
Well, I mean, you know me, I've been called crazy most of my life, so that's not going to bother me if a person does. But there's definitely a significant theme from last year to this year. This is now the second series, film, whatever you want to call it, through Disney in a row. First, it was Shang-Chi. Then a little bit of increments in What If. And now this series, where they literally show a demonic being draining the essence of a human and extracting a soul. So I want to know, why during a pandemic do you choose, of all themes, to show in a row to children, teenagers, and adults that all love Disney? And I mean, to me, I often like watching things of Disney that make you happy, that make you feel joyful and family oriented. Now, don't get me wrong, I do love a morbid and drama and thriller and sci-fi and action. I'm there. But if it's like every single theme in these series and in these films, I want to go back to how Jack said about Obi-Wan. It's like you get to a certain point where, you know, you'd rather watch something else. And
I want to point out something, Fedra. Back in the 30s, we had Tarzan movies, and they used to do the same stuff back then. And kids used to go to those theaters constantly and watch Tarzan. And there was a lot of violence and a lot of voodoo and some really weird things going on there. And they just ate it up as entertainment. But yeah, I agree that scene that you had spoken about with, I don't know, was he a zombie or was he, I guess it's a living dead man.
He was like a mummy or something, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Which one?
Well, the one where he was like taking the organs out of that person he sacrificed.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's, so what I assume the writers are doing is they're actually blending in actual occult practices that were practiced throughout history, not just in Egypt, but they're blending Egyptian history, because it's true, a lot of people are fascinated with the history of Egypt and how they did their dead, because nowhere else in history can we see how they took the time to bathe the body, remove the organs, place them carefully, wrap the body, then have the mummified coffin, then have it in a complete room with everything the person owned, all their riches. Then they wrote along the entire walls and the coffin, as well as the entrance and exit, so that you knew exactly who this person was when they, you know, pass on. I mean, there's no other, I can think of any other ritual of that nature. So a lot of people are fascinated. Well, in this case, for the show, you know, they choose the villain to be a reptilian female goddess. So, you know, it kind of grinds my gears as a female, you know, showing us in this very destructive, soul-sucking way. You know, I mean, not that I'm saying like all the villains got to be guys, but, you know, if
well,
I...
Well, yeah, the hippopotamus was a girl. She was nice.
Yeah, but she's also escorting everyone to the dead. So great. You know,
well, again, who says it has to be the Grim Reaper, you know?
Right. It's a different, you know, orientation.
A different take on the Grim Reaper.
You know, and also the use of the avatar, you know, I like that they were pointing that out. You know, but it's just very along the themes of what's going on in the real world when we say the narrative. There's specific points, actually. One point is that Khonshu says it, and I believe also Hero and Amit says it as well. They talk about actual free will. So Khonshu says that you cannot take the fight from me. If you take the fight from me, I then have no choice. Everything about in this country we've been talking about is free will and the choice that we all can make. So it's very interesting that it's in this series. And I don't think I'm reading it into very deeply when it's literally word for word that. You know, when we see what happens to Hero, that is, you're right, Jack, that is a form of what happens in voodoo. But you could also say it in Christianity. It's just basically possession. So because they destroyed the vessel of Amit, they obviously could not put her back in the statue because it was destroyed. So instead, they used her avatar, which is a human vessel, and they decide to put this demonic energy soul into him. Yeah, it's great at the end that they kill him, because I was rooting for that, because I was like, oh, okay, great, Joe, you got it. They killed him. They actually kill him at the end, hopefully. So I was rooting for that. But again, you know, why? Like, why is all of this like really specific, dark, demonic stuff just constantly being portrayed? I mean, it's, I just can't say that it does not affect our mental health and our mental state. Sorry. Like, if you don't have a routine to like clear your mind, meditate, do yoga, do whatever, if you're constantly watching this stuff, it does affect you on some level. If you don't agree with me, that's fine.
No, I agree with you.
But like, I mean, a lot of brainwashing techniques is by literally sitting you somewhere and you are watching something consistently, or you're listening to something consistently. You know, when they do torture, they don't just hit you once, right? They hit you over and over and over and over again. So, you know, just like how we hear the same things on the news over and over and over again, they're doing this in these shows over and over. And I do have a problem with that. Like, even in this show, it talked about vengeance once again. It didn't really address justice. It didn't really address about saving people and helping them. It was tossed in there here and there like Batman, but it didn't really talk about joy and like justice and like being a part of a community. It still felt so dark. And if that was their goal, great job. You got that. I don't know if Moon Knight as a character in the comics was this dark as well. If it is, then they did exactly what the writing should be.
It is pretty dark.
Yeah. Okay. So then me personally, it's just, I'm over the dark. I want to see more superhero, more playful, more Spider-Man vibe type of films. Because the world itself is already going through so many shifts that we just don't need that. And I just expect that from Disney. That's my expectation. I want you to give me the happy Wonderland, like things can be okay. We can all unite and be together. And that's not happening lately. So that's why I think it feels so distorted, because again, when you play that over and over again, how is that fun? You know, kudos to Oscar Isaac for playing different parts. That was really cool at the end that we see that different personality. It was really cool to see Layla as well accepting the avatar and then showing you how it would be if you were possessed. You know, the body takes over and she does her little skit and then she goes back to being herself. You know, that's a great adaptation of that. What else can I tell you before I send it over to Jack? So I feel like I've let everything out. A lot of symbolism too. You know, when it comes to the avatar that Layla becomes with the wings, very interesting that, you know, Hera just seems very weak at the end. I was very surprised. I was expecting more of a fight on his end. I kind of like the ending where, you know, Mark and Steve are kind of together and they're doing that. And they also end they don't technically, I guess, but that's what trips you up about Khonshu. But how they put it onto Khonshu to end the slave contract, that I thought was very nicely to show more of a modern-esque vibe to it. Instead of being like, now you're kind of stuck with this contract and you're never going to get out of it. I thought that was a nice little play at the end.
Okay. Jackson, what do you think? Did you like it?
Well, I liked it. I won't go into it as in-depth as Fedra because I don't notice things as much as she does in that regard. There were some things I liked about it. There were some things I didn't like about it. I did like how Mark and Steven came to an agreement to each other and that they start realizing, you know, that they're not just individuals. They are part of each other and them coming together. Like, I really liked the scene, how Mark went back, you know, and granted, he's talking there to Steven, who's a pillar of sand, you know, and he does this whole emotional appeal and everything. And then, like, Steven never heard it because he was a pillar of sand, you know, and it was sort of like, you know, you were giving me a talk, weren't you? And he's like, yeah, don't worry about it. Let's just go, you know. I like that part, how the two of them have reconciled that they're not at war with each other, you know. The third personality, I feel we kind of, the reveal of the third personality coming out and just ending the big fight of the show between Moon Knight and Hera, and just having it like the flash of white and then it's done, and you know, Mark like, Steven, did you do this? No, I didn't do that. You know, like, it just seemed kind of a quick cop-out, kind of. As far as Amut, I thought that was kind of clever, the way, you know, they brought her back. And it makes sense that they would stick her into the avatar. To me, it made sense, but I don't know as much in the metaphysical as Fedra does with all of that. But the whole, I knew once he was down on the altar and, you know, Khonshu was like, okay, kill him, finish him. You know, we'd have Mark go soft and be like, no, we can't do that. Killing is wrong. It's sort of like, you know, this guy was a mercenary.
Look how many people he killed in this series.
He is a killer. Steven would have been like, no, there's got to be another way. But I wouldn't have expected Mark to shy away from it that way. But that's, you know, if I get that, if they had Mark kill him, that would be like an irredeemable line that they've tried to show him becoming more heroic through the series. If he went and killed him at the end, that would have put him back undone all his process in becoming the hero. So I kind of get that. However, there were things I just kind of didn't understand what happened. Like after the big fight and towards the end, why Mark ended up in the White Hospital again. I felt I missed something there that was kind of just a little too jarring. And then the fact again at the end when he wakes up and he's back to tying the rope around his leg when he gets out of bed, you know, Mark and Steven have come to agreement that they're not going to screw each other over. And as far as we know, they're not really aware of the third personality. They don't know who he is or what happened. So like I said, little things like that threw me. I thought it was funny when Layla was becoming the avatar of which goddess? Was it the goddess of the arts or whoever?
I thought so, but then I was looking that up earlier and it says that she's representing the Scarlet Scarab.
The Scarlet Scarab is a very obscure Marvel hero. That's the name she's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But they never call her that in the episode.
Right.
It's like, you know, on Star Wars, all the Ewoks have names, but they're never called by name in this movie, but they all have names. But I like the fact that, you know, if everyone was going to be an avatar and had to go through the crap Mark Spencer with Khonshu, why would anybody do it? So I was kind of glad that when she got her choice, she kind of got a fun, sympathetic sort of deity that was like, oh yeah, you know, I can do this, but you know, you're not going to be a slave to do terrible things all the time. You know, I thought her costume was cool. But yeah. I kind of wish they gave her a hood or something similar to Moon Knight, you know, that, you know, not everybody in the world knows her identity when she shows up. Because, you know, like you said, I like the costume. I like the way they did the wings. That she was able to sort of, they're not always there. She was able to reach back and then they extended. I thought that was kind of cool versus the way the Falcon's wings fold, you know, yeah. Kind of weird behind them. So I thought that was kind of cool. I also liked when the two gods were fighting, how they were huge.
Gigantic
astral projections. Yeah. You know, I mean, can you imagine the terror that would happen if, you know,
no, that was great imagery.
And you're looking over at Brooklyn or Queens and seeing these two giant entities, you know, duking it out. That was kind of cool, you know. So there were things I liked in it. There are some things that kind of threw me. But I'm with you, Fedra. I can't see going back and rewatching this. Whereas, not to sound like a broken record, I'm back watching Daredevil. And after that, I probably will watch The Defenders and Jessica Jones, the first season again. I just can't see going back and watching this again. And I think that's a problem with these Disney Plus shows. I don't think they have rewatchability.
Yeah, I agree.
You watch it, you're one and done, and that's it. So I hope things start to change for the better at Disney Plus, because honestly, I'd rather almost upgrade my Paramount. Like I said earlier, I'd rather upgrade Paramount, I think, at this point and drop Disney. Because the Star Wars we've seen, Boba Fett, was a big disappointment to me. And aside from Hawkeye, the Marvel shows also have not been all that good. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe my tastes are changing as I'm getting old and grumpy. Maybe Joe Hogarty's rubbing off on me the wrong way.
No, I mean, and I agree with you, Jack.
That's the problem.
I know. I sometimes
feel I'm agreeing that way. With you. That's the problem.
No, I sometimes feel as I'm getting older, I'm just not enjoying things the way I used to. But I just don't know if it's us or if we're getting more mediocre stuff instead of things that should be really good.
You know what? It's like the comedians are all saying, because they're all afraid to be getting canceled by making jokes. They're afraid to do the same comedy we used to see 10, 15 years ago. It's just not as funny because they can't risk offending anybody. And you know what? Comedy can be offensive sometimes, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I'm going to say, like I told you guys, I love the first episode so much. It was probably my favorite Disney Plus Marvel series episode that they aired. I really enjoyed it, but it just went downhill because I was expecting to see a show called Moon Knight for it to be about a hero called Moon Knight. And instead, we basically got a story about schizophrenia.
But then again, I have to say, I enjoyed last week's episode.
Well, that's fine, Jack. But you know what? If it wasn't called Moon Knight, I might have enjoyed it a little bit more.
I hear you. I can.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, would this have made it a good movie if it was just about schizophrenia and that story that was told about how, you know, his brother died and he was abused by his mother? Yeah, I would have enjoyed that movie. But that's not Moon Knight. They wasted that character just because they wanted to tell this story that they could have told somewhere else, and they could have just given us more Moon Knight. And I think that they failed. And that's the problem with what Disney does a lot, especially with these series, Loki, WandaVision, for me anyway, I just feel that they need more talent or just people that know what they're doing. And the one good thing with the MCU that everybody used to look up upon is that they had the Marvel writers helping them with the movies, and it showed on the screen because they got the characters right. And I feel like that's changed, especially with the Disney Plus series and a lot of the movies in Phase 4. I think that now they're hiring new and younger people with different agendas and what they want to preach about in their stories. And we're kind of missing out on what the characters that we once loved were all about. But yeah, I did enjoy somewhat the last two episodes. And I think I enjoyed the last one a lot. And I really did love her character. What was it called? The Scarlet Scarab?
Yeah, that's the name of who she's supposed to be, but they never call her that in the episode.
Well, no, but she was great, though, and I was so glad. I was like, there was a couple of groans that I had, because I told you, we were talking, I think, the night before it aired, and you're like, oh, well, Elise Stevens gone now, and I'm like, yeah, he's not gone. This is Disney. You know, remember what they did with Star Wars, and what did they do? They brought him back. They should have left him dead. They, you know, because again, that brings like weight to the series, like that he sacrificed himself. And then now all of a sudden he comes back in an episode, next episode. So what? You know, it's like,
if it was like another four episodes and it brought Steven back that quickly, the fact that they brought him back in the last episode, it's not as bad.
I just didn't like it. I mean, and I like Steven, but I don't like when he's Mr. Knight. I hate that costume, and I hate that he's so different from Moon Knight, and that like he's a kinder, gentler Moon Knight. But nobody wants to see that, though. They just want to see Moon Knight.
I like the suit, but it's still, to me, when I look at it, I just right away think of Deadpool. It really like, so it makes me kind of confused. It does.
I would rather it just be Steven and Moon Knight, or yeah, that's what I mean. Steven, the nerdy type of guy, and Moon Knight with the kick-ass costume. We don't need all this multiple personality stuff. We just need a lot of fun, a lot of action, a lot of adventure. And then I cringed when Khonshu went to Layla and said, "Will you be my vessel?" And I'm like, "Oh no!" You know, that's all we need. This is Disney doing this crap again. It's like, well, we need a new Black Panther. Well, we have three women to choose from, you know. So I think they were going to do that. I felt they were going to do that again with Layla. It's like, well, she'll be the new Moon Knight, and or like what they did with Hawkeye. You know, Kate Bishop will be the new Hawkeye. I just don't like when they overdo that. But I was so glad when she said no, and then she became her own hero. And again, that's how you do it. Like, if you want to, you know, have inclusiveness and representation, create a good character. And that was a good character, and it was authentic to what the character was about. So just do that. You know, don't, you know, force her to be Sue Storm. You know,
I even liked the quick moment. Are you an Egyptian superhero? And she's like, yeah. She's surprised by the option. She's like, yeah, sure. I just thought that was a cute little moment.
No, that made me smile too, because I felt like that's what they need to do. They don't need to take characters like, and I know people love Miles Morales, but it's like, there's only one Spider-Man, you know? It's like, you guys got to stop doing this crap, you know, milking him. I know that he's got a ton. Like, there was Ben Reilly, and then you got Spider-Gwen, and then you got whoever the hell else that they have. But I just feel like, I especially don't like when they kill off, like, Peter Parker and replace him with Miles, or they kill off Steve Rogers and replace him with Sam Wilson. Well, not necessarily kill off, but just replace them all together. And it's like, enough is enough. You know, like, I just don't like that. Anyway, yeah, back to the series. Yeah, I'll never watch it again. I'm with you guys. It's unfortunate. I had high hopes for it, but they just dropped the ball. They just don't get it. And this guy wants to make a theatrical Moon Knight movie. No, 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 no. You got your chance and you failed.
I mean, that's like, what they, I feel like they already did it. That's what I like. That's what I agree with you a lot, Joe. Like, this should have been the film talking about the backstory of Moon Knight. And then they should have had in the series just the segments of Moon Knight fighting and solving things and working through, you know, Steve doing the smarts and Mark being the muscle. That would have been cool to watch, you know, in a segmented series. And then this be the actual film.
Yeah. Well, I will say, after seeing Doctor Strange, Doctor Strange was Doctor Strange the whole damn time, you know?
Nice.
He never, like, he had his costume on for the majority of the movie, but even when he wasn't, he was just Doctor Strange, you know. It's like, and that's what's always good with sequels, is you don't have to go through some long ass origin story to see them at their full potential. At the beginning of the movie, he's at his full potential, and that's what we want to see. We want to see the superheroes. We want to see Spider-Man. We don't want to see Peter Parker. We don't want to see, well, maybe a little bit, but we want to see more Spider-Man than Peter Parker. And although I wasn't 100% crazy about the Batman movie, like I said, there was more Batman in that movie than there was Bruce Wayne. I would say probably 3/4 of it was Batman and like 1/4 of it was Bruce Wayne. And I thought that was fantastic. And that's what it should be. But that was not Moon Knight. Moon Knight was 1/16 Moon Knight. And I think that's exaggerating. You know, I'm giving them credit that there was that much Moon Knight. There was
such a cool costume, too.
It was.
It was like, such a cool looking costume design.
Yeah.
But you barely saw it.
I don't know if it's going to get a season 2. Disney will give a season to anything and they'll just say, oh, you know, according to our statistics, it was very successful. And yes, we will have a season 2 and season 3. I can't believe that they greenlit 5 seasons for Andor and then they cut it to 3 seasons. And I'm like, well, show one of the seasons first. What if it's the Book of Boba Fett? Does people want to see 3 seasons or 5 seasons of Book of Boba Fett?
Oh, I mean, no.
You know, it's they really need to use their brains, you know, like when they start making these series.
It's just a matter that they want to do that. They say this and they contract these things just to lock in the talent.
Possible.
That say whatever they do with Andor, they get right. And they want to keep their options open for 5 seasons, just in case it's terrific. I don't have faith in them that way, but who knows? They could be doing that, saying that and contracting it just to keep the talent attached to the project.
Well, you know why I want the series to fail, Andor? Because they're so damn overconfident that this is going to be so successful that they're like, well, we'll have 5 seasons. So much so that K2SO is not going to be in the first season. They're waiting for the second season. It's like, bring him into the first season so that it'll bring more people and they'll enjoy the series a little bit more. I think that, you know, that's what they did with Batman v Superman. It's like, well, we'll put in Luther, but we'll put a better Luther in the second movie. It's like, no, give us like the Luther that we want to see on the screen. Don't give us Steppenwolf. Give us Darkseid if you're going to do a Justice League movie. I hate when companies are overconfident and they're like, well, we'll do it in the sequel. You know, we just want to give you a little taste of what things could be because we know it's going to be successful.
Yeah, guess well, there's no guarantee you're going to get a second episode, a second movie, a second season,
that's
whatever.
That's true, too.
Yeah, well, that's why I brought up all those movies. It's like, come on, guys. That's why Disney needs to hire me. The CEO, there's so many girls waiting to be Slave Leia selling hot dogs on Main Street.
That's right. He always got to slide that in there.
Oh my gosh.
I'm telling you, that stock would go up like you wouldn't believe. I'd make a deal with the governor of Florida, you know, and I'd make a deal with everybody where everyone would be happy. And
listen, DeSantis, I got a plan for Disney. Just sit down. Let me tell you what I got. I'm Joe Hogarty.
I'm the big guy.
I'm the big guy.
I don't want to bring up that subject, but I would go out of my way to make all sides happy, you know, and I think I would be successful too. You just need to hire me. Just give me $1 billion for 1 year. And then if I am not successful, just give me $1 billion for 1 year. And if I'm not successful, I won't come back for a second year.
But that's awfully big of you.
Yeah. We all win, you know, especially
somewhat.
Anyway, I guess that's it. I guess we'll wrap this puppy up unless you guys have anything else you want to say.
No, I'm good. Maybe I'm just too tired today. I'm not as spicy as I was last week.
Well, I do want to mention from the other part again, the other episode, I agree that it was a well done episode. But again, did his brother have to die? You know, did he have to die in that cave? You know, like it was, I agree with you. Like they had to show this whole trauma with his mom and everything. But it just showed me once again, somebody had to die, you know? Okay, now it's not mom and dad, but it had to be a sibling, you know? It just confirmed for me, again, another example of somebody in the family having to die in order to become a superhero. And I do want to say it because it's really annoying. And I'm tired of that being the segment of becoming like a better person or becoming like a superhero, that you have to go through all of this stuff, like, and all of this turmoil. Like, yeah, I think all of us do suffer and all of us do, you know, go through struggles and lessons, but I don't think it has to be that traumatic for someone to, you know, take the torch, you know, and fight for justice and for Earth. And I had to say that because it's just, I don't know. I mean, I think, Joe, I need to just sit down and write that list. I literally need to go through every Disney film and like process that and like take a picture for people to see, because to me it's so massive now, like I can't even fathom it.
It's not only Disney though. I mean, just look at DC. It's like Batman lost his parents, Superman lost his parents, Wonder Woman never had a father.
The Joker, like, Joker, we don't even know really. There's just so many.
Oh, Joker. Oh, well, Jack never seen it, but man, that guy had a crappy life. We all felt
like
bad.
I only lasted half an hour. Well, I've got better things to do with my life than
that's just sad.
Watch the rest.
You missed a really good movie.
No, I'll echo Fedra's sentiment. There's too much crap in the world for me to spend time watching something that's not going to make me feel good or make me a little bit happy.
So if they do season two, are either of you wanting to watch season two of Moon Knight?
Well, I think I'd have to watch it for the show, but if I didn't have to, I wouldn't watch it.
Well, Moon Knight, I would probably watch. I can say Joseph Hogarty is not going to make me watch What If season two. I'm done with that.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure if I'm going to watch Echo. I might watch the first episode, but well, you guys might want to watch it because I think Daredevil's in it.
Yeah.
But Daredevil sounds like it's an afterthought because that series has been announced so long ago. It just that they should have been working on it prior to this. And
what do you mean?
When they announced Hawkeye, they had mentioned Echo was going to be in it and that she was going to be rolled out into her own series. It's far enough back that they didn't have access to Charlie Cox, Vincent D'Onofrio, because those were still owned by Netflix. I think them being in it, it's just going to be sort of like tacked on somehow. Like, oh yeah, well, you know, we might be able to squeeze another two episodes out of this if we put in some Daredevil stuff. And like I said, the Daredevil from Netflix is too good just to be an add-on piece to a show. And like we've said before, I don't know who the hell in the world has been asking for an Echo series.
I think, you know,
especially again, this version of Echo.
They're putting him in there just to draw people to this show.
Exactly.
It's kind of like what they did with No Way Home. Like, would it have been as successful without Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield? I don't think so. I think it probably would have made half the box office that it made.
But you see, I think they were always supposed to be part of it.
I'm just saying, if they weren't. But
if all of a sudden it's like, oh, by the way, they're stuck in there. But let's face it, we knew from the beginning once they announced.
No, we did, but that was the whole thing. It's like, oh, this is going to be big. If we can get all three of them on the screen together, so many people from different generations that loved Spider-Man movies are all going to just run to this theater, regardless of whether they have a mask or not, you know?
And they did.
And they did. They and definitely they did.
But that's Spider-Man. You can't apply Spider-Man rules to a D character, D-list character like Echo. Because people would have run to see a Spider-Man movie anyway. Maybe
but
not
I'm just
like
saying,
they did for No Way Home, but they still would have gone to see
Spider-Man. Yeah, but Spider-Man movies were failing. That's why they brought Iron Man in. Is they're like, well, we need more people to see the movie. Help us, Disney and Marvel. They're like, okay, we'll lend you out Robert Downey Jr. And he'll help you get the box office. And then next time, we'll lend you out Doctor Strange and he'll help you get the box office. And they're just going to do that with Echo and probably every damn series that they're going to have. Because you know She-Hulk is going to have the Hulk in it and probably a bunch of other characters. You know Ironheart is going to have somebody big in there. I don't know if it's going to, I doubt it's going to be Tony Stark, but it's probably going to be somebody from that, you know, I will guarantee that it will be Rhodes. Yeah, Don Cheadle. And then he'll get a nomination for an Emmy. you know, for his role in that.
Who knows?
Yeah. I know. I'm telling you, I'm predicting the future right in front of you.
Oh, no. The future. All right. Joe Hogarty. We're in trouble.
All right, let's wrap this one up. So, Jack, can you tell everybody where they can find you?
You can always send me email at jackm@wdwnt.com.
And Fedra?
You guys can be my friend on Facebook or follow me on Instagram. And you can rant and rave and write to me at fedra@wdwnt.com.
You're like Mr. Rogers. You could be my friend or my neighbor.
So, well, Joe, what are you asking people for? To reach out to you.
Oh, you can email me at Joey.
You can find me on Facebook and be my friend.
cut me off. Joe@wdwnt.com or send me a friend request on Facebook. But I said friend request. She said, you can be my friend. check out WDW News Today, Disneyland News Today, as well as Universal Park News Today for all your Disney and Universal news. And please visit the Carousel products. And finally, if you like our show and enjoy other WDWNT podcasts and like to become a Patreon supporter, please visit the WDWNT Patreon page at www.patreon.com/WDWNT. And with that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert Season 8, Episode 21. So until next time, see you all.
Good night, all, and be good to each other.
Good night, everyone.